Welcome to the Mission Church. My name is Keith Lament. I'm the associate pastor here, and Pastor Greg is on vacation, and so he needs some rest, and we so appreciate him. And so if Pastor Greg is watching by way of live stream, which he probably is, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Greg. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for your great leadership in this church, and we appreciate you, your body. The body of Christ appreciates you. And so today I get the privilege of preaching and continuing our series on Proverbs, and I get to have the fun message of concerning our tongue, the Proverbs. So wisdom for the tongue, that is our assigned topic for this Sunday, wisdom for the tongue. And so what we say matters. Can you agree with that? What we say matters. The words that come out of our mouth matters. And I would think that not just what comes out of our mouth, but other ways that we communicate matters. And so when we read the Bible, we have to bridge what culturally is written in the Bible to where we are now. And that's how we apply it to our lives. And so when we read Proverbs, we have to bridge the culture of what was written then to what it applies to our life now. And so communication, when we're talking about the wisdom for the tongue, the tongue and the mouth is spoken a lot in the book of Proverbs. But I think in our culture, it is more than just our tongue. It's more than what we speak. It's also what we type, what we post, what we text. That is all communication. It's not just what we speak out of our mouths, but it also is what comes from us. And a lot of it's nonverbal communication. So I can tell what a lot of you are thinking when I preach or when I talk to you by your facial expressions. And I try not to look at individuals in here when I speak because I know what you're thinking by your facial expressions. In fact, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I know exactly what she thinks because of her facial expressions. 1 year ago, we moved here. June 1st was my first day as associate pastor here. And so, yeah, crazy. It's been a year. It's been a really fast year. My wife and I were pretty nervous about moving here because our daughter has pretty aggressive facial expressions. They can be pretty intense. And although she means well a lot of the time, when she first meets someone, you're either for her or against her in her mind. She either likes you or she doesn't like you. There's no gray areas. You have to win her love if she doesn't like you at first. But we were so nervous about that coming here because we didn't know how you were going to react to her strong facial expressions. And she lets you know exactly what she's thinking when you say something to her. And so forewarned now, if you meet my daughter, you will get facial expressions from her. She'll either love you or hate you. But if she hates you, it's just an opportunity for you to earn her love. So you can earn her love, I promise you. So communication involves your nonverbal facial expressions or your nonverbal communication. Also, I feel bad for teenagers and millennials because of social media. So I have very few pictures of my parents from when they were teenagers, when they were kids. Very, very few pictures. I know a little bit of what they looked like and a little bit of what they did, but only from what they told me do I really know about them. Teenagers and millennials growing up now, when our kids grow up, there is a record of what we typed, what we said, what we looked like on social media. It's the truth. So be careful what you post because your kids are going to be watching you someday and they're going to look back and be like, did you really say that, Mom? Did you really wear that? It's going to happen. In fact, social media is so relevant and we have to realize that it's communication. It's important because of professional athletes who have made mistakes. So there's a safety in the NFL. His name is Richard Sherman. He played for the Seattle Seahawks, and he was an incredible safety. And the Seattle Seahawks won a couple Super Bowls, and they were really good, and he was a dominant force on their defense. And their rivals, the San Francisco 49ers, he would trash talk them all the time. He would say just the meanest things to them because they would always beat them. And he would trash talk their fans, and he tweeted and he posted all over social media that the San Francisco 49ers fans are the worst fans in the NFL. They're horrible. They're the worst fans. Guess what happened? Seattle dropped Richard Sherman, and guess who picked them up? The San Francisco 49ers. He is on record saying that they are the worst fan base in the NFL, And now they're the fan base that has to cheer for him every Sunday when he plays. What you say, what you communicate matters. So I would say that everything we text, everything we post on social media, everything that our facial expressions, our nonverbal body language reacts to, everything that we say is a communication. And when we read Proverbs about watching your tongue, watching your mouth, that relates to our cultural situation about our own communication and how we communicate to people. So when the time comes for you to use words wisely, they will do one of two things. They will preserve life or destroy life. Proverbs 18:21, it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequence of your words. So where do your words of life or of death come from? Where do they actually come from? I would say your words are a product of your heart and your emotions. Luke 6:43-45, it reads, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So my question to you this morning, what is your heart full of? A critical heart produces a critical tongue. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart produces a toxic tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. A faithful heart produces a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart produces a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. So what are you filling your heart with? And what comes out? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I would say, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you say flows from it. Guard your heart, because your emotions will flow from it. It's a command that's given in the Bible to guard your heart. How do you guard your heart? How can you remind yourself daily that God's word helps you against the attacks that you face every single day? Because let me tell you, wherever you leave your house and you go into the workplace, you go into the world, Satan is looking for an opportunity to attack you. And so you have to be on guard. Every single opportunity that Satan has to attack you, you must be on guard. You must bear the armor of God. Guard your heart because your emotions will flow from it. Why are emotions so important? We were created to be emotional beings. Our emotional well-being directly affects our communication. To frame it nicely, if we were able to control our tongue, we must look at the root of the problem and to try to master our emotions so that they do not end up mastering us. Samuel Rema wrote a book, Leading from the Inside Out, and he says, whether we want to admit it or not, our internal emotions in large measure determine who we are and what we become. So if we were to take a Philosophy 101 class, this Proverbs would be one that we would discuss. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. Everyone say, makes sense. No, it doesn't really. As a man thinks within himself, so he is. It's a deep thought. Whether it's taking place inside our life or eventually work its way out into the public view in forms of moods, behaviors, actions, and your speech, our emotions will ultimately affect your communication. Paul writes, in perfect dichotomy of the tension between emotions, what we're feeling, and what we think. In Philippians 4:6-8, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. Say, guard your hearts. And your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Paul understood the connection between worrying and what we think about and focus on. there's a clear connection between what we think about and the way we process thoughts, and eventually our emotional state. Our emotions are a direct result to how we respond to different circumstances and situations in life that we are confronted with. Our moods are the way we feel at any given time. Our anger, our worry, our fear, our depression are almost always a result of how we are interpreting and processing events that we experience on a daily basis. For some people, our moods are often a learned behavior in response to external events. It's a learned behavior that we process because we're comfortable in that situation. Many of you have a learned behavior that's very unhealthy. You grew up in a situation in life where it's chaotic. You had a chaotic household. And so you're comfortable in conflict. And because you're comfortable growing up in conflict, you now process that as an adult. You bring it with you. And so everywhere you go, you cause conflict because that's your learned behavior. That's where you're comfortable. And that's how you process these unfiltered events into your mind, and you process and your emotions come out of it because you learn to behave in a way that's chaotic. So you can take one event and you can have two different perspectives. Say there's two stockbrokers. Both invest in the same exact stock, the same exact money, and that stock tanks, and they lose a lot of money. These stockbrokers can take one or two paths. One stockbroker sees it and uses it as extra motivation and says, okay, I lost this money, I'm going to gain it back and even more. I'm going to motivate myself, and I'm going to be determined to get my money back. The other stockbroker looks at it and says, nope, I'm never doing this again. I'm going to quit. I'm never taking another risk in my life. Same event filtered in their mind differently with an emotional response. Do you understand? Do you follow where I'm coming from? So the relationship between the world and events and the way we think are very important. In the world, the events are either a positive, a neutral, or a negative event. Then your thoughts interpret the events in the series of thought that continually flow through your mind. This is called an internal dialogue. Ever have conversations in your mind? Internal dialogue, right? It's an internal dialogue. And your feelings are created by your thoughts. Your feelings are not created by the actual event. Your feelings are created by the thoughts. All experiences must be processed through your brain and given a conscious meaning before you experience any emotional response. So the event happens, you interpret that, and your emotions follow after your interpretation. So interpretation is very important. The Apostle Paul writes just how to combat distorted thinking, because many times we interpret it in a distorted way. We have very unhealthy ways to interpret a situation. They're very unbiblical ways. They're ways that speak death into our own life and speak death into others' lives. We witness an event, and we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, and we rely on ourselves, and we have a very distorted way of thinking about it, and that affects our emotions, which eventually affects our speech. So Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12:1 that, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you in a new person by changing the way you think, transforming your mind. It's a spiritual transformation that takes place in the processes in your mind. And so your emotional state must be filtered by a transforming of your mind. There must be a transformation in your mind in the spiritual way with the Holy Spirit that goes in and through you and transforms you, and that directly affects your emotional state and directly affects how you speak. The way we think about things will have a profound impact on how we feel, and our emotional state will have a profound impact on what we say. Our emotional state will almost always filter into our communication. Anyone ever speak out of bitterness or speak out of anger or speak out of frustration? More times than not, when we speak out of these emotional states, we say something less life-giving than we would expect from ourselves. We say something that's more of a destroying words than their life-giving words. It's because our emotional states are heightened. Has anyone ever gone to work and you know that when you go to work, you have a certain coworker that gets on your nerves, or they stab you in your back, and you just can't stand when you're around them? So your emotions are heightened when you're around them. And you know that if your emotions are heightened when you're around them, you're going to blurt something out that you don't want to say. Or maybe it's a family member. You go to a family reunion, and you just know this family member just gets on your nerves. Everything they post on the internet, everything that they portray, you know, is just not true. Everything they say to you, their sarcasm cuts to you. Everything that they say and they do, you're just at a heightened emotional level because you just can't stand them. Maybe it's not a family member. Maybe it's just a person that you come in contact all the time with. When your emotional state is high, you are susceptible to saying something terrible. Can we all agree to that? Yes. When you speak out of bitter, out of anger, out of frustration, you are at a level, an emotional level, that you're going to regret something that you're going to say. And many times we face those every single day. When you walk out your front door, maybe you face that at a coworker every single day in your workplace, or a family member, or maybe it's your husband or your wife or your kids. Maybe just whenever you're around someone, your emotional state is just a little bit higher and a little bit farther than you want it to be. And you see the events happening, you see what they say to you, and then you filter them through your mind and you can't control your emotional state and you just want to blurt something out. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about what's in your heart, your emotions in your heart. You must guard your heart. You must never get to the point where you blurt something out that you don't want to blurt out, because your words do one of two things. They preserve life or they destroy life. What are you saying? How are you going to preserve life by saying something, or how are you going to destroy life by saying something? Most times than not, when we're in a heightened circumstance, a heightened emotion, we say something that we later regret. Ephesians 4:29 through 31 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." Replace your emotions of bitterness and anger and any form of malice in your hearts, in your emotional state. I find that a great way to do that is to remind yourself you must forgive other people for what they've done to you, because Jesus forgave your sins. So how can you ask for forgiveness from your Savior if you can't forgive other people? We're more like Jesus when we forgive other people than any other time, because Jesus forgives us on a daily basis. His grace is extended to us on a daily basis. So we're more like Jesus when we forgive other people than when we hold on to a grudge. And so I would encourage you that when you face people that heightened your emotional state, remind yourself to forgive them. Also, another practical way to talk to people that you don't want to talk to, or be around people that you don't want to be around, start praying for them. Don't pray for them for them. Pray for them for yourself. Because when you start lifting other people up in prayer, God hears that and honors that, and he changes your emotional state. He changes who you are. You start caring about that person even when you don't want to care about that person. Isn't that frustrating? That is so frustrating. Like, God, I don't want to care about this person. Right? God says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Hey, guess what? That means he expects you to have enemies. Think about it. If God says, love your enemies, then he expects you to have enemies. How do we create enemies? Probably by our faith and the way we live out our faith. So if you live out your faith, you're going to have enemies, and you're going to have more and more people to pray for, and more people that are going to be upset and angry with you, but you're just living out your love. Just live out the love of Jesus Christ in your life, and everything will be good. Do your part, and Jesus will do his. So lift others up in prayer, and everything will work out. So the transformation of your heart comes through a life lived for Christ and the transformation in your own life. So when we take communion, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he made a new covenant. He was a new covenant in his blood. We believe that as we remember his death and sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, that we are transformed through that. We live a different life. And a different life means that we must guard our heart and act in a different way. Because if we don't and we act like the world, then people are going to look at us and be like, they're a Christian. How do they act like everyone else, but yet they say they are bought with the price of Jesus Christ, and they proclaim that everywhere, on the cross they wear, on their necklace, on their social media, in the words that they speak. I'm a Christian, and you go and curse someone out later. That doesn't speak very well to you. Or my favorite, in the back of your bumper on your car, you have a little heart, or say, what would Jesus do, or anything that relates to Christianity, and then you cut someone off on the highway and flick them off. That's a great testimony. Great job, right? So it's true. Your actions must follow where your heart is. Guard your heart and your emotions. Guard your emotions. Make sure you don't get to the level of your emotions are too high that you say something that you will regret. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit will infiltrate your life, and he will help you say the right things at the right time. And he'll help you not to say the wrong things at the wrong time. Another product of your words is self-control. Self-control. Your words are a product of your self-control. Going back to Luke 6, verse 45, it says, "A good man brings good things of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil brings evil things of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What makes an evil man's heart evil, and what makes a good man's heart good? I think it starts with self-control. We always have a choice when to speak and what we speak. God has given us the incredible freedom to choose your words. You have incredible freedom to choose your words. And God has all the power in the world. He could have taken that away from us, but he gave you the incredible power to choose your own words. But we speak from a sinful nature. All of us are sinners. There's no denying that. And we speak from a sinful nature, but we have an incredible tool to help us filter what we say. Our mind. What goes through your mind doesn't necessarily mean you have to speak it out. Understand? If it goes through your mind, you can filter it, and you don't have to speak it out. You don't have to. You can check yourself. You can say, oh, no, not going to say it. It's a filter. It needs to be quick. Maybe you need to pray for the Holy Spirit to help you act quick, because maybe you're so quick thinking that you just want to spit it out, but sometimes you just need to take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. Just think about it. Your mind is a filter. God gave us an incredible tool, the filter. Your mind can distinguish what you think about the consequences of your words. We all need discernment. I'm going to go through a list of proverbs that are pretty self-explanatory. I don't have to really preach on them because they're self-explanatory. But it's straightforward, and it's going to speak to us. So Proverbs 16:28, gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. Do I really need to explain what this scripture verse means? Gossip breaks up friendships. If you don't have any friends, you better check why you don't have any friends. Maybe it's because you gossip all the time. You talk about people behind their back. They're not going to want to talk to you. It's true. It's just people aren't going to want to hang out with you if you gossip about them. That's just a friend tip 101. Just don't gossip about, if I'm your friend, don't talk about me behind my back. Say it to my face in a nice way. Come to me. Say it to me to my face. We're New Yorkers. We're up front, right? Come on, people. Don't gossip about other people. Gossip is spread by wicked people. If you gossip, the Bible is literally saying you're a wicked person. Do you want to be a wicked person? No. I don't think any one of us wants to characterize us by being wicked. So don't gossip. Don't stir up trouble. Don't break up friendships. Don't bring that conflict with you. Maybe your learned behavior when you're younger is to gossip about everyone. Break that learned behavior and replace it with the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about other people. Control yourself. Proverbs 6:12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Watch your language. Just watch your language. Come on. Self-control, watch your language. Watch your language in good situations, bad situations. Watch the perverse nature of what you say. Watch the perverse nature of what you laugh at. Just because someone says it's a perverse joke doesn't mean you have to laugh at them and agree with them and fuel them on. It's all communication. Watch your language. Proverbs 7 or 12, verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. There's a simple contrast between truth and deceit. One cuts, one heals. Sarcasm has an under low-key tone of cutting. Sometimes sarcasm is great when you're with friends. Being sarcastic, I love being sarcastic, family members with friends, but sometimes sarcasm can go a little too far. And there's a little bit of too much truth in the sarcasm that cuts deep. And then if you're on the recipient end of receiving the sarcasm, you think about it and you're like, is that what they really think? Are they really thinking that? And then you dwell on it, you think about it more, and then it's just like festers, and you're like, what does that mean? Sarcasm can be an incredible tool of cutting someone down, of wounding someone. Words are very important, and even when you think they understand what you're saying, if you're sarcastic by nature, you have to be very careful that you don't take your sarcasm too far, right? Can we say there's a limit on things? Don't take it too far. Don't cut. Don't roast people. I don't get roasting because, I don't know, an actual roast, when you're roasting people, there's like truth to your comments, and those truth to your comments, it's not like fun games. Those truth, like, they hurt. Roasting hurts. What? Who came up with roasting as like a comic event? That's a terrible idea. Terrible. They're like a piercing of a sword. So be careful when you're sarcastic. Just use wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous is a well of life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Do you speak to others, and do you give them life when you speak to them? It's a great question to think about when you're talking to other people. Are you speaking life into someone else? Also, when you speak to yourself, are you speaking life to yourself? Many runners, anyone that competes in a race, often find themselves alone while they're racing. They're racing and they're usually alone. Maybe there's people around them, but it's just them and their thoughts. It's just them and their thoughts. And oftentimes, runners or racers have to talk to themselves. They have to speak life into what they're doing. They have to say, I got to keep going at this pace. I got to keep my heartbeat at the same rate. I have to keep this pace going. I cannot stop. Even though this hill is coming up, I need to keep going. I need to push myself. And they speak life into the situation, because if they spoke the other direction, if they say, nope, I need to take a rest. I need to start walking soon. I don't think I can do this. What's going to happen? They're going to take that rest. They're going to slow down. They went from a run, a nice pace, now they're slowing down, and they don't even know why. It's because they're speaking that death into them. They're not being optimistic. Our internal dialogue, our personal commentary frames our reactions to life and circumstances. One of the ways to recognize, promote, and sustain optimism in our own life is with positive scripture in our own life, to speak life into ourselves. Every morning when you wake up and you know you're going to face a coworker or a family member or a friend or someone that you're going to have a heightened emotion, you have to remind yourself of scripture and the daily truths of the value of your own life. You have to remind yourself that I have value in God's eyes. I must remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do everything that God has planned for my life because he wrote it in scripture. For he knows the plans that I have for me. You must remind yourself that he has plans for your life. You must remind yourself that he is good. He is good. He is good. And he's thinking about your well-being. And you have to talk yourself up. You have to motivate yourself. Motivate yourself every morning. Give yourself a motivational pep talk. Can we give ourselves a pep talk? I can do it. I can do this. I can face this day. This day's got nothing on me. It's got nothing on me. There's a YouTube video of this little three-year-old girl. Every morning she wakes up, she stands in front of her mirror, she stands up on the counter, and she sings to herself. She's singing, I'm beautiful, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm going to have a great day today. She just reminds herself of how great she is and how great the day is going to be. Why don't we proclaim that every single day? I am great in the eyes of my Savior, and today's going to be a good day. Regardless of what happens today, it's going to be a good day. I'm going to filter the events that are happening, and I'm going to make it a good day. My emotional response will be good and praiseworthy. Everything that comes out of my mouth is going to be life-giving to other people and to myself. I am determined to make today the best day that I can make it. Pep talk yourself. Say, bring it on, day. Bring it on. I got this. You can't defeat me. I have scripture in my mind. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I find rest in my soul because the Lord goes with me and he goes before me. He knows what's going to happen that day. He knows every event that's going to happen. But you can face it because he ordained you to face it. His blessings go with you. Oh, you got this, church. Just wake up in the morning and say, I got this. Pastor Keith believes in me. I got this. God told me that he's never going to leave me or forsake me. That means today. Sometimes we read scripture verse and we put it into the future, right? God has plans for me, right? That means great things in the future. God has plans for you today, right? God's going to protect you in the future. Yes, I pray for that over my family. God's going to protect you today. Take a scripture for what it is right now. Right now in your life. God has great plans. Take hold of them. Pep talk yourself. Self-talk. Memorize scripture. Preach it to yourself every day. Let the enemy know you're not for taken. He can't take you. You're guarding your heart. You're guarding your emotions. God is good. All the time. Amen, church. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Yes, it does matter how you answer people. Yes, tone matters. Yes, it matters how you answer someone when they ask you a question. You can take two different paths. You can have a soft answer, and that will be the structure of the rest of the conversation, or you can answer in a harsh way and create conflict, and you must confront that person, and you must be in an argument. You get to choose which way is the conversation going to go. Same exact answer, two separate roads. Some of you are fueled by conflict. You just love conflict. That's just who you are. And so when you answer someone, you answer them harshly, your learned behavior is that you're in conflict and now you get to enter into an argument and you just love it. Especially on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, people post things that they want conflict. They want people to answer back. They want to fuel the argument. They want conflict. And it's up to you to determine not to enter into that debate, not to post, even when you think you're right. Especially when you think you're right. You can see something online and you have the right answer. You know exactly what to say. You can crush the argument in one single swoop of a statement. You just want to. You want to so bad. Take a deep breath. Think about it. Don't post it. Sometimes even posting the right answer isn't worth it. Even answering someone the right way, you need a soft answer. You need to control yourself. A soft answer turns away wrath. You can avoid a lot of confrontation, a lot of arguments, a lot of conflict if you humbly approach someone in a situation, you answer them in a correct, life-giving way. Or you could answer in a terrible way and create a lifelong conflict that doesn't need to be there. It's your choice. How do you answer people? Tone does matter. Proverbs 16:23, intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. How you say something reflects your intelligence. Simple as that. Proverbs 15:28, good people think before they answer. Shocker! Good people think before they answer. Think before you press submit. Think before you blurt something out. Think before you have the facial expressions of, My daughter, we've been going through a process of buying houses, and we finally bought a house. We're in the closing stages right now. But as we were looking at houses, we looked at this one particular house, and usually the owner's not there when you look at the house. For some reason, the owner was there when we were looking at this house. And we walked in, and Clea goes, "What's that smell?" And her face was like, "I don't like this house. This smells bad." And the owner's like standing there, and Malia and I are like, "Gosh, like, yeah, let's wrap it up. This isn't the one. Let's go." First, it doesn't have the seal approval of my daughter, and second, it does smell bad, but she said it out loud, and now I feel really embarrassed. Watch. Just watch what you say. Watch your facial expressions. Just a fair warning. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Encouragement goes a long way. Encouragement is very important. Encourage one another. Speak life and the love into other people's life, and they will remember that. Oftentimes, I have teenagers that I was a youth pastor for, and I still get messages from them letting me know that what I said and what I spoke life into them, they still remember, even when I don't remember myself. So when you speak life and encouragement unto other people, they remember that. Don't take your words lightly. Don't take yourself lightly either for what you can speak life into other people. You can be an incredible tool, an incredible, powerful force for Jesus if you speak life into other people. And when you speak life into other people, usually people are drawn to you because they want to be around you. It's a fun fact. When you listen and you encourage other people, you're usually surrounded by people because people want you to listen to them and they want you to encourage them. So if you want to be a better friend, a better Christian, why don't you listen more and encourage more? Fun fact for the day. Take it or leave it, whatever you want to. So the way you communicate, what you post, what you say, what your nonverbal communication reflects what's in your heart and your emotions, and also reflects your own personal self-control. And so we can't talk about the wisdom of the tongue or wisdom of communication without talking about our advocate, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus sent. When many people think of the Holy Spirit's power, they envision visible, spectacular works. Most of the time, the kind of power we need every single day is neither spectacular or sensational, but it is supernatural. Having self-control and overcoming emotions at times requires a divine help from our advocate, the Holy Spirit, beyond our natural abilities. Supernatural living is not always outwardly dramatic, but very much internal. The word translated power in Acts 1:8, dunamis, is wonderfully comprehensive. It simply means ability, and it applies to all practical ways in our lives. The power of Jesus promises followers is for every Christian living circumstance, enabling his followers to do and be whatever the Lord has purposed for our lives. Each individual is unique. We're all unique. And we all have our unique weaknesses. And the Holy Spirit knows them. So our motives and our flaws, the Holy Spirit knows. So when we depend on him, he will help us in our uniqueness to live in obedience to the Lord. The help, the power that we need varies with every single individual. The shy person may need the courage to speak up. And that's the divine power of the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way. Because you might be the most introverted, shy person, but when the power of the Holy Spirit prompts you to say something, you'll have the courage to say it out loud. And that's the supernatural, the Holy Spirit working within you. The outgoing, the impulsive person may need the restraint to just shut up. It's the truth. If you are just very outgoing and you're impulsive, the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit will help you just to stop talking right in your tracks. That is the supernatural of the Holy Spirit that works within your life at any given moment of time. And that's the uniqueness of who you are and how the Holy Spirit works in and through you. The fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life, love, joy, peace, patience, and all the other characteristics that are described in Galatians 5, they may not seem spectacular, but they certainly can be supernatural. Beyond our natural capabilities when we speak according to them. Those who are going through in the midst of an incredible tragedy can find themselves with complete joy because of the supernatural of the Holy Spirit. It's not natural by world standards, but it is the supernatural by God's standards. Those who just have to trust in the Lord more and have to be faithful in the Lord have that faith when they're going through those trials and tribulations. And the world just doesn't understand, how can you trust God when you're going through this? But you know the supernatural of the Lord is working in and through you. The gentleness of the Holy Spirit, when there are times of heightened emotional states, when you know that the world expects you to lash out at someone, the world expects you to react in a certain way, but the gentleness, the patience, the self-control supernaturally overwhelms you and you don't react according to the world's standards. You see, the world expects you to react in a certain way, and when the supernatural of the Holy Spirit takes control, you react in a different way. That is a supernatural of the Holy Spirit that's not outwardly spectacular, but it's spectacular to you because you know yourself. You know your sinful desires. You know how you should and want to react, but you react the way of the Holy Spirit. Jesus only spoke about signs and wonders twice. Signs and wonders is frequently used in the book of Acts, but he only spoke of them twice. He warned his followers not to be deceived by false prophets in the last days that who would show signs and wonders. And when an official at Capernaum whose son was sick came to him, Jesus said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." When Jesus taught his disciples about what would convince people that they were his true followers, he did not speak about signs and wonders, but he spoke about love. He said, "By this all men would know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We need the Holy Spirit to communicate love to one another. We don't need signs and wonders and miracles every single day, but we do need the Holy Spirit's help in everyday living, especially when it comes to how we communicate. How we communicate to one another how we communicate to one another in love reflects what's in our heart and our emotions, our self-control. It reflects being a disciple of Christ. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual lives every single day, and our emotions and our relationships will reflect that. We are not capable of naturally being all that God wants us to be without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You understand that? The supernatural just doesn't happen in your own life. You must be fervently seeking the wisdom of God. You must be fervently seeking the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You must be seeking God and his will for your life. If we could all stand, if we could have our musicians and our worship team come up. We face situations every single day that require us to have self-control, that require us to think about our heart and our emotions. We have to fill our heart with scripture. We must make sure that our emotions don't hit a tipping point to where we say something we don't need to say. We must make sure that we have self-control and we remember the Proverbs and we speak them into our life and we speak life into that. But we also must remember to love one another. So every action that you take, every action that you say, everything that you say to other people, remind yourself, am I loving this person or am I not loving this person? And if I don't love this person, why do I not love this person? How can I pray for them? How can I forgive them? How can the Holy Spirit work in and through me in such a way that I can portray love? How can I love one another? Everything that I say either preserves life or destroys life. How am I preserving life through my actions, through my speech? How am I preserving life with what I post, what I text, to how I communicate? How can God use me in a further and deeper way? The Spirit also helps us when we pray. We're a Pentecostal believing church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We believe in signs and miracles. We also believe in the Holy Spirit that works every single day in the midst of your own life. We believe that the heightened sense of the Holy Spirit in our lives will help us to do things that we are naturally not capable of doing. My emotions are naturally capable of doing the wrong things, but I rely on the Holy Spirit so that my emotions are capable of godly things, of what he wants for me. And so when we seek the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we seek the supernatural because we believe that God uses us in and through us, and he takes control of the things that we have no control over, but we say, God, we give it to you, and that is the tongue. That is our tongue. That is our communication. That is what we say. That's how we communicate. We give it to God. We must give it to God. And sometimes we just need to just say, Lord, I can't control this without you. And you're in a humble place and you can say that. I can't control my emotions without you. I filter events through my mind and my thoughts. I just cannot control without your presence and your help every single day. Every single day. It's not a one-time prayer. It's a daily prayer. I need you today. I need you today. I need you to filter my thoughts today. I need you to help me control my speech today. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing where the Holy Spirit works. This morning, we're just going to have a simple altar call. I know that many of you face people every single day that you just know that you need to control your emotions, or you need to control your tongue. You need to control what you communicate. Some of you face every single day just things on social media that trigger you. They trigger you. It's the truth. Things trigger you. And you want to react in a different way. And so you just know you need that self-control. You need God's presence to flow in and through you. And if that's you this morning, we're going to sing a worship song. And Pastor Kathy and myself and the altar workers are going to be available. Pastor Raphael will be available. We'll pray for you. And we'll pray that God gives you the strength and the courage to face whatever is in your heart, whatever is in your mind, whatever goes through what you want to say. And that he can helps you control that. And we're also going to pray that if any of you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, again, this church believes in the manifestations of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Spirit works wonders and powers in and through all of us. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power is within us. That power helps us. It's not always spectacular. It's not always sensational. But it is always supernatural. And that supernatural is available for us. And so if that's you this morning...